Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome back to another edition of the Holtzcast. Cole Pettum here as always, and we're back for yet another opposition match preview because Villa make their way up to Newcastle to play, of course, Newcastle United. Pretty obvious with that terminology right there. Of course, it's a Friday kickoff, and with Friday kickoffs, of course, some fans are a fan of it and some just aren't, but nonetheless, it's another event, another time to watch Villa during these annoying pandemic times. But nonetheless, of course, to have an opposition preview, we need an opposition fan, and that is Will from Talk of the Tune at TOTT Podcast on Twitter. I got that right, Will, but how you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. Well, personally, I'm okay. If we're going to be talking about football, then there's just this cloud, this black cloud hanging over my head at the minute. Can't say I'm going to be too lively or too excitable in this one, but yeah, very good. Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm doing well. I mean, I think we're all doing as well as we can, but nonetheless, it's good to have at least some football talk to get us through all these questionable times. But like I was saying to you before we even kind of started recording, Villa were in a much worse situation than you were at this point last season compared to this season. So I do feel your sympathy. We both have had Steve Bruce as a manager, so I can feel your pain there as well. To be fair, ours is probably worse because it was in the championship and it was going wrong in the championship at one point. So I will take a little bit of an advantage at that, if that's even one. But nonetheless, let's focus on Newcastle United first and foremost, because of course some Villa fans may not have even really been paying attention to a few teams this season, and we always want to give them some insight there. So what are your thoughts on this season so far, if you're going to sum them up?
Piss poor, probably. not good at all. Just a huge feeling in the camp that, well, first of all, no one wanted Bruce. Well, again, I do this thing where I speak on behalf of the entire Newcastle United fan base, which I'm not.
I think we all do for these.
I'm not quite certified to do quite yet. But speaking for myself and speaking for the podcast, like, just a very, very unwelcome managerial appointment. Especially, I mean, I think lots of Newcastle fans, never mind football fans, are probably sick of hearing us talk about Rafa Benitez now, but going from him to Bruce is a stark change, stark difference. I think the signs were there early in the season. We were playing dreadful football, not looking for possession, not playing balls, you know, pumping it up. And we kind of got lucky. We were coasting through and we picked up a few good results here and there, but it's really starting to show, and those poor performances are really starting to reflect in the points we've got this season and the position we find ourselves in the table. Just absolutely, it's absolutely shocking at the minute. And getting a 0-0 draw against West Brom, losing to Sheffield United, you know, we're more kind of concentrated on the teams around us now than our actual performance ourselves. It's not a good place to be.
Yeah, and I mean, I do feel for you guys. I mean, we as Villa fans know what it is, or is like, I should say, to have poor ownership, and the fact that our ownership, or former ownership, I should say, almost sunk us to oblivion. I mean, of course, I hope you guys never have to go through that extent of it, but I can definitely understand it. And it's kind of interesting when you mention Rafa Benitez and then you mention Steve Bruce. And I just think if you compare the two, it's like $1,000 or £1,000 or whatever you will, nice bottle of wine versus like a $10 box wine or something. Like if you want to compare apples to
chalk
apples
and cheese, isn't it?
Yeah, basically, yeah, you're just kind of getting what you can. And I'd imagine that appointment was more so because he's more of a local and all that kind of stuff probably plays on it. Maybe ownership thought that would help. I don't know, understand how that would ever really affect anything, but nonetheless, the one thing I do want to touch on with all this is, well, when you really look at your season from my perspective, what do you chalk it down to? If there's one sole thing aside from Steve Bruce, is it the playing style? Is it certain players not playing up to expectations? Like if there's one thing, what does it really chalk down to?
It's the manager and his tactics or lack of. He's just the most uninspiring, unambitious manager I think I've ever watched in my whole time being a Newcastle fan. I've sat through a fair few managers now, but I don't know. It's a really tough one to put a finger on. There are that many issues. I mean, this is a man that's openly admitted that he doesn't really believe or doesn't really do tactics. I just think it's something I've talked to death like lately. But I just don't see how you can be a manager in the Premier League in 2021 and not do tactics when you're up against the likes of, you know, Guardiola, Tuchel, you know, all these top class managers, Mourinho, Klopp, Dean Smith, world class manager. Just can't see how how he can't do tactics or he doesn't play to the opposition. For a long time, he set out with like five at the back and just hoped to catch people on the counter, but the counter opportunity never came. We've got so many good players in our ranks and they've been playing really well lately, but are just shackled by his lack of ambition. I mean, we've got a side with, again, people are probably sick of us talking about them, but what else we've got to talk about? We've got like Callum Wilson, Alan Saint-Maximin, Miguel Almiron. We've got talented players in that team, all three of which are out, by the way, at the minute. I think we're missing something like six of our starting 11. So we've been unfortunate with injuries, but does that come down to the coaching and the manager not kind of saving players? Does that come down to the medical staff? No resting, too much resting. Don't really know. It's just been a concoction, really, this season. Nothing's gone right, but it all stems from the manager and poor decisions and a media circus around him as well.
Yeah, it's an interesting one especially when you touched on the tactics there, Will, because I can't remember if it was Gabby Agbonlahor or Jack Grealish. It was somebody within relatively present Villa time, and I think they even confirmed the same, that training was like, here, throw a ball in the middle, let's go. Let's just have a kick about. It's just like, that's something you might like have for like under eights, maybe, or like under sixes. I don't even know.
In
like
the it's park.
Like, exactly. Like it's just very, very strange. And when I guess on the outside looking in, a lot of people kind of look at it with very little knowledge and say, well, he's not backed. I think he's been one of the managers that's been backed the most out of recent time, if I think
financially, definitely.
Yeah. Once again, I think he's brought in some good personnel, but once again, it's just he has no idea of what he's doing, in my opinion. And the fact that he's had this many jobs in professional football is absolutely astounding to me. But nonetheless, I guess he's had a few successes. But you did touch on injuries there. And Callum Wilson, I think what? Alan Saint-Maximin, Miguel Almiron, Manquillo as well. And I think Fabian Schär is on this list. I don't know if those two are still accurate, but it's a tough one to look at for you. I mean, for us, we still don't know about Jack Grealish or Matty Cash, but I guess if we kind of focus on to the game perspective on Fridays, where's your confidence level going into this one, really? I mean, let's pretend Jack Grealish and Matty Cash aren't playing. Does that comfort you at all anymore?
Yes, absolutely, because one area of the pitch we get completely dominated and turned over is the middle of the park. We brought in Joe Willock from Arsenal on loan in January, who had a great debut against Southampton, but he seemed quite off the pace in our last game against West Brom, which was a shame. Like, just I don't know whether that's tired legs because we're down to so few options now. I just think you'd probably have us in the middle of the park, and that's where we've really been exposed quite a lot. Jonjo Shelvey's had a good couple of games actually, last couple of games, but he's susceptible to a few mistakes or losing his head a little bit. Isaac Hayden's been played all over the place. I think he's on his last legs type thing. Confidence is not high at all. I think don't want to get hung up on it, but I mean, the 7-2s against Liverpool, and you know, you're getting draws against Chelsea, and you know, you're beating Arsenal, all in the fairly recently. I think you beat Arsenal twice this season, haven't you?
Yeah, it's been very nice.
I can imagine. I can't remember what that feels like. But I can maybe take some solace in the fact that you only seem to be able to beat big teams. Maybe. I don't know.
Somewhat, yeah.
Well, you can win games. But no, confidence is very, very low. I mean, we're on the back of two draws. We drew 0-0 against West Brom and just seemed to be happy with the draw and playing for the draw. And then a 1-1 draw against Wolves, which admittedly we probably should have taken all 3 points from, I'd say. I'm not confident. You got the upper hand on us in the return fixture. I think it was 2-0, and you played us completely off the pitch. So as miserable as it sounds, I could probably see it going the same way.
Yeah, interestingly enough, though, I don't even think I think Saint-Maximin was just coming out of injury for that one too. So. Mm-hmm. He's barely really came into effect. I think he had Almiron on that day too, but once again, nothing really much was created. And I think our opening goal came from I don't know if it was a Fabian Schär blunder or something.
I think it was actually. Yeah, just you say Ollie Watkins gave it to Ollie scored, Watkins. Didn't he? Yeah.
So
shit show.
It's a tough one for us because I don't think we've scored since, oh God, I think it's been like over 200 minutes or something like that. I can't even remember here. I'll take a quick little look as I talk, but yeah, we've definitely been, I wouldn't say we've been struggling because I mean, Christ, we hit the woodwork twice in the same spot against Wolves. And then before that, I mean, there's some success there. We're kind of learning how to win tight games, which I feel like we haven't done since eons ago, but nonetheless, I find this game is going to be one in the middle of the pitch. And I mean, that's kind of stereotypical, I guess you could say, with a lot of things, but for us it really has been. We've been really rotating our midfield, trying to find what's going to work and what's not. Ross Barkley seems like a shell of what he was earlier on in the season since his small injury, so not really sure what's going on there. But nonetheless, kind of getting back maybe more into the game, maybe we'll try to get a little more positive notion on your side, if that's possible. When you look at this game, is there one aspect of maybe this Villa side or even in your team itself where you look at and say, hey, you know what, we can expose that using maybe this or that?
I mean, if you'd asked me like 2 or 3 matches ago when we had, ASM and Miggy firing on all cylinders, like, it's just such a shame their injuries came when they did, because as you say, ASM was just kind of getting back into the full flow. He came back and was genuinely like a new player, game changer. Miggy was playing the best he's ever played for us, and now they're both gone and we've got to replace them with Joe Linton and Ryan Fraser. Ryan Fraser's really not got up to speed really in his Newcastle career. He's still capable of things. I think he got an assist not that long ago. So he's still capable of that kind of wicked cross. But, I mean, it all depends on whether we play someone like Andy Carroll or whether we start with a Dwight Gayle or we go with Joe Linton again. I'd quite like to see us go for Andy Carroll. He could probably just bully Mings and Konsa. I think your two centre-halves are, maybe bully them a little bit, you know, really put himself about, get them riled up, maybe get them into a bit of trouble. And then he's the perfect target man for like a Ryan Fraser, like a wicked cross into the box, or a John Joe Shelby deep free kick. I still think Joe Willock can offer a lot in terms of danger. He just always wants to go forward with the ball, and he always seems to be in our box, defending a counter-attack or an opposition attack. So I think danger men will probably be scraping the barrel, but Joe Willock and Ryan Fraser, and then Big Andy if Bruce decides to play him.
Yeah, I mean, Andy Carroll does like to have like one outstanding game probably every 15 or 20. So you never know when that's going to be. And that's probably one of the things that scares me most, because it just seems like he's actually bothered for one day a year maybe. And you just don't know when that's actually going to happen. I guess more on a humorous kind of standpoint, though, you look at, like you said there, with Isaac Hayden and Joe Willock, you have one more there. You can make an Arsenal Academy there midfield. you're getting very close to it. So
if we could have some more of their players, that'd be quite good.
Well, hey, you know what? They might have a clear out in the summer, so
we'll be there. Yeah, just around the academy, just hanging around the gates.
That's okay. We're gonna have probably another Chelsea loanee next summer again. It seems like that's the in thing to do. We've upgraded from Danny Drinkwater to Ross Barkley, so I'm hoping maybe Pulisic is next or something. We'll just keep going up the ladder, hopefully.
Yeah, that wouldn't be a bad one.
That wouldn't be bad at all. But before we get things wrapped up, actually, I kind of want to backtrack a little bit because I forgot to ask this, but what's really your expectations for the rest of the season for Newcastle United? Do you think realistically you'll stay up, or where do you think you'll find yourselves?
I mean, it sounds awful because I always prefer to be quite a positive fan and, you know, ignore a lot of the negativity around the club, but it's just hard to see us getting out of the slump we're in. We've maybe done some work on slowing down the decline, like, two draws on the bounce. Before that, I think we'd won something like two in a ridiculously high number of games. Like, you just know it's going to come down to that final day on the season when we play Fulham. And it's written in the stars, isn't it? That'll be a crunch game, the last day of the season. Fulham going away and beating Liverpool in the last game. We barely scrape a draw with West Brom. I just think other teams around us, or Fulham especially, have momentum going in the right direction, and ours is very much going in the wrong direction. So I think I've said for a while, just in passing, I think we'll go down. You hope to God it's not true, but I mean, it's hard to argue with the path we're on, the path of destruction at the minute. But we can hope and pray. Let's leave it at that.
No, that's fair. And I guess one more thing here, actually, before we do score predictions, that just came to my mind. I guess kind of from a whole club perspective, when you look at it, I guess it for you, does it really matter if you go up and down in the sense that nothing's really going to change until that dollar figure is or pound figure is met for Mike Ashley and things will really change then? Does it really matter until he's gone, essentially?
Well, you say that someone did meet that figure, and then something else came in and stopped the sale with this whole this PIF fund and the Premier League rejecting the takeover not that long ago. You just don't want to risk going down this season because you risk doing a Leeds, or as you say, doing what you guys were in danger of or did to some extent a few years ago. You don't want to do a Sunderland. Basically,
and hey, I think you could have a documentary. There you go.
So yeah, silver linings. I just think if it were to happen now, then it's just going to cause more issues. But you want to be back. You want to be in the Premier League for when everything opens, like lockdown's ending in June/July. Hoping to have everyone vaccinated by the end of July over here. So be nice to have some decent football matches to go to, and certainly be nice to watch some Premier League football matches next year. So, I hope we stay up for that sake, because I think we do risk going into free fall if we go down this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's always a tricky one. I don't even know what kind of market it is in football terms. I don't even know if it's a buyer or seller's market right now. It just seems like everyone wants to stay hold and just kind of see what's going to play out from there. Hopefully things start opening up and people can start recovering financially, because that's probably the most important thing. But Will, before we wrap things up here, can I get your score prediction? And you can be as honest as you want.
Well, I'll not be honest, but I'll be optimistic. Just because I'm willing it on and wishing it on, I will say 2-1 to Newcastle United.
That's fair. I appreciate your honesty, because you do get a lot of people on here. I say this almost every time, and they'll try to be nice about it. And it's just like, if you want your team to win, just say it. So no, it's good to hear honesty. It's always good to hear that.
Cross some fingers and toes. How do you reckon it's going to go?
It's a tough one. I just wish we'd actually put it in the net. I mean, Ollie Watkins has hit the bar 7 times this season. So go in for him. I mean, if Grealish plays, I have every confidence in the world that we'll win. But I'll say we like a 1-0, so I'll go a 1-0. It seems like the 1-0 to the Arsenal has become 1-0 to the Villa. So I'll gladly take that. And that means Emi Martinez, if I can get that out
correctly, clean sheet.
He'll match our Premier League record with Brad Friedel and Bosnich as well, I think. So,
oh, shit. And he's still got a fair few games to play this season as well.
Absolutely.
So he'll definitely break that. That's mad.
Yeah, I know.
What impact he's had.
Oh, he's been the best keeper I've ever seen in my life for us. Oh, my goodness. I mean, that's not really that long, I guess. But in considering it all, I absolutely love the man. And hopefully he sticks around for years to come. But anyways, let's wrap it up there, Will. Good chatting with you. But if people want to find you, feel free to plug anything you wish right now.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks, Cole. So, yes, you can find us on Twitter at TOTT Podcast, as Cole said earlier on. You can also find us on Facebook by searching for Talk of the Toon Podcast. Our podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Acast, all reputable podcast platforms. So, yeah, give us a search and give us a listen. That'll be great.
Lovely stuff. Yeah, so nice. If you want to find me on Twitter, it's at Talk Aston Villa if people want to hear me talk about nothing. and of course, you can email the podcast, holtcast@gmail.com. You can also tweet the team at 7500 to Holt. We'll be back hopefully Saturday or Sunday for the post-match synopsis at some point. Just got to wrangle the guys together to hopefully talk about a positive result. But nonetheless, hopefully an entertaining one, because I cannot take another 0-0 off the back of a previous 0-0. But nonetheless, we'll leave it there.
Preach.
And don't forget, up the Villa.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.